Hello. Thank you for listening and watching You Had Options. This episode, I have Chris Eller, drummer for the great punk rock band, The Huntingtons. They have a new album coming out called Back to Ramonia. They cover some Ramones classics. Very good. It's on Burnt Toast Records. Go order a copy of it. Check out The Huntingtons on Instagram at HuntingtonsUSA. Check out You Had Options on Instagram, at You Had Options. Go like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. Say whatever you want. Say whatever nasty thing you want. Good nasty. Prince nasty. Go to thehandsomescoundrels.com/shop. There's some Scoundrels merch. There's a You Had Options shirt with my face upon it. Yeah. Go buy. Go live. Yes. Thank you for watching. Okay, Chris. Hello. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. How are you doing? How has COVID been treating you?
Pretty much the same as it's been treating everybody else.
You know?
Just kind of making it along, trying to navigate the best way possible. Luckily, right. I haven't missed any work. I haven't, had to endure any nasty layoffs or missed time at work or anything. We pretty much, haven't missed a beat there. So that's good. I haven't had to deal with the unemployment debacle that was going on a little while ago. So as far as music's been non-existent for the past 2 years almost. Right. So, kind of slowly getting back into it, which is nice. Feels really good.
Y'all got some shows lined up, I saw.
Yeah. We're doing a handful of shows coming up. Philadelphia, October 9th, at the Pharmacy. And then we're doing, Auto Bar with Teenage Bottle Rocket on October 20th here in Baltimore.
Cool.
And then we're doing a free show with the Jasons and Prozacs and, a local DC band called Capital Offender at, a pie shop. It's called the Pie Shop.
Oh yeah.
Here in DC. So that'll be cool. And then got some other stuff throughout the winter and, we're just kind of keeping our fingers crossed that, everything doesn't take a nosedive again, like it did, back in March of 2020,
right.
Because, we had our busiest lineup, of shows since I've been in the band since 2015. Mm-hmm. So we just released our last record, the Muerto album, and we had a lot of stuff coming up. We were supposed to go to Italy, play a big festival over there. That obviously didn't happen, so
right.
We're trying to get back into it. We got to make up for some lost time, but with the restrictions and the mandates and everything, it's kind of, we're at the mercy of, the local governments pretty much,
right.
And determining what we're doing. So we're trying to make it work,
I feel you, man. Yeah. Y'all come play in Alabama. There's no rules here, man.
Yeah, I know. I think that, I don't know. I think we'll wait on Alabama. We'll get down there. That's again fine. Sometime.
Yeah. Do you have a Natty Bow tattoo?
I do. Yep. I was raised right outside of DC, but I moved to Baltimore shortly after I graduated high school, and I've been pretty much a Baltimorean since you know, I was 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 38 now. So now I live back closer to DC now, but I'm still, you know, still got my white trash badge bottom.
It's like, I love one fun thing about touring for me is like regional beers. I mean, they're all like similar in taste, you know, they're none of them are like gonna rock your world, but
right.
But yeah, we played at the pie shop and they gave us
so you know about the pie shop.
Yeah, it's cool. And they gave us a bunch of Natty Bows. I'm like, I don't know what this beer is.
Yeah, I, you know, it's one of those things, if you grew up and you were poor enough and you just had to get by on, you know, like you could get a 12 pack for $6.
Yeah.
You know, so you like, you and your buddies, like that's what you're drinking. And then, you know, once you establish a career, then you move up to PBR.
Establish a career. Yeah.
You know what I mean? once you move up the ladder of success in life, you know, you go from your local, you know, your local beers. For me, it was Natty Bo. Then you step up to PBR and then to Miller Lite and the top shelf stuff, you know, the Budweiser and you know, the High Life, High Life, the champagne of beers.
Right. Oh, shit. Did you go, I follow you on Instagram. Did you go to that Turnstile show? That free one?
I did. I went to see them at Clifton Park. They did that big show in Clifton Park. And then a couple of weeks after that, they played a club show. I didn't make it to that one because it sold out in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to get tickets. So, but yeah, I went and saw them at Clifton Park. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's kind of going down. It's like, you know, it's, you know, I don't know, in 20, 30 years or whatever, people are going to look back and that's going to be like, you know, seeing the Bad Brains at CBGB's, you know what I mean? That show was just epic. That was one of the best shows I've ever been to.
Yeah. I had heard of them before, but I never listened to them until like they put out that like short movie pretty much for their EP.
Yeah.
And yeah. I got hooked with that because I was like, fuck, this is cool.
Yeah, they're local guys. So I've known them for a very long
time. Well, yeah.
Pretty much since the singer was in a band called Trapped Under Ice, who I'm buddies with the singer and a couple of the other guys in the band. So I knew Brendan loosely. I didn't know him all that well. But I had been seeing Turnstile since like 2011, like pretty much when they put out their first EP. And yeah, I mean, they've just evolved into one of the most exciting bands, like, you know, breaking down barriers left and right. I don't even know what to call them anymore. Like they started out, they were a straight up hardcore band. Yeah. Now it's like, I don't know what to call them. Are they a hardcore band, a punk rock band, you know, like they're just all over the place. They're just so exciting. To watch them, like I said, to watch them evolve has just been awesome. Because they're all really great dudes and, you know, they just deserve all the success. So Turnstile is pretty much, they're going to be taking over the world here soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They,
and they deserve. So.
Yeah. There's Furnace Fest was in this past weekend in Birmingham, like a couple hours away from here. And they were closing out one of the nights. I thought about going up there, but.
Yeah, it's funny because they got added on to all these, like they played Firefly Festival, which I don't know if you ever heard of, but it's a big, it started out as like kind of a hippie, like kind of indie rock festival and then kind of branched out. They started bringing in other acts from other genres, started doing hip hop stuff and started to branch out a little bit. And before, I think before this album dropped and they really started gaining notoriety, it was fun. They were like opening a lot of these festivals, you know, they were like playing like, you know, first or second spot. And even my friend, texted me and he's like, can you believe they're playing it? Like, you know, they're like second on the, you know, the second band opening that day. And then
11:30 in the morning,
you know, fast forward like a month and they're like on the Billboard top 100, you know, they're just blowing up and it's like, all right, now they're starting to headline days and get pushed back and, yeah, that's really cool. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Have you been, did you start out in like hardcore bands? Or have you always been in punk bands?
No, I grew up a hardcore kid.
Yeah.
I started out as like a metal kid. Really, like I had some neighbors down the street that were older than me that were like big metal heads, like Slayer, Anthrax, like pretty much the big four, right?
Right.
Like Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer, and Megadeth. And they would make me mixtapes and got me in, and I'm talking, I was in like second or third grade.
So
I was
impressionable
at this time.
Yeah, man.
You know, and so I started listening to that. And then I have cousins, two in particular, that at the time I was right around sixth, seventh grade, like middle school age. And they were big into the hardcore scene. Not so much Baltimore, but like where I'm from is a town called Bowie, Maryland.
Okay.
And at the time when I was growing up, they had a really, their hardcore scene was thriving. Like they had a lot of really cool DIY venues. It was right outside of DC. It was pretty much in between DC and Baltimore. It was closer to DC, but they had pretty much, if you were a touring, like a nationally touring band, like Hatebreed, mm-hmm. right? Like when Hatebreed was just starting out, or not even just starting out, but when they were kind of, when they were on the rise, they would always play Bowie. They'd always play this, you know, the VFW halls or whatever.
Right.
So they started dragging me to shows, and I started really getting into that because I loved the aggression, but it didn't have the, you know, the 6 minute long songs and the solos and everything.
Right.
That was kind of, I didn't really have the attention span for it. You know? So it was like, but it had that aggression. And then all that really did was just kind of open the doors for, you know, more of the underground scene. So I started getting into, you know, a lot of hardcore. And then, you know, I was still a hardcore, consider myself, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, I was like a hardcore kid or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I never played in any hardcore bands or whatever. I just went to shows. And then I had some buddies of mine that played in punk rock bands, and they needed a drummer, and I never played drums before,
mm-hmm.
but you know, they were just pretty much like assigned me that position because they didn't have anybody else, and we were best friends. So it was like, yeah, I'll play, you know, I'll just teach myself how to play. And we went up to the music shop in College Park, Maryland, and got you know, an old shitty drum set, and that was it.
Right.
You know, and I just taught myself how to play punk rock. And they were big, like Ramones guys and the Queers and that whole Lookout scene, you know, Screeching Weasel, everybody else stuff. So that was like super easy for us to kind of, to get into when we were starting out. You know, you play covers and it's like, all right, we'll teach ourselves how to play Ramones songs. Like how hard is that?
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what we did. And that's all I've been playing since I was 18 years old, 17, 18 years old.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, but I still love hardcore, man. I like, you know, I still go to, you know, I haven't been to a hardcore show besides that Turnstile show.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I don't even consider that, you know, I haven't been to a club, like a club hardcore show in, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Probably at this point, you know, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you guys, to go back to Ramones covers, you guys just put out your Road to Ramonia.
Back to Ramonia.
Back to Ramonia.
Yep.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
That
just came out.
How did you guys choose which songs you're going to put on that one?
So the guys, this is actually a re-recording of a release that was done in 1996.
Mm.
And it was pretty much, we weren't really planning on doing this. It wasn't something that we were like sitting around and thought it would be a good idea. Like we were approached by the guy who runs our label, Brento's Vinyl, Scott Hatch. And Scott wanted us to do, it was the 25th anniversary of his label and the 25th anniversary of Rocket to Ramonia, which was the title of the first recording.
Oh, okay.
So he thought it'd be cool to do kind of like a joint like 25th birthdays, you know, release, release the first, and it was the first album that I believe Scott put out. So it was kind of like, all right, well, 25 years later, we'll do it again. And, you know,
serendipity, it all lined up.
Yeah. Right. So, at first we were kind of reluctant to do it, just because, you know, you look at the song list and it's like, you know, back then when the band was starting up, you know, yeah, those are the songs that you're going to want to record, but those songs have been recorded, you know, ad nauseum, and everybody knows them, and they're not, you know what I mean? It's not songs that nobody's ever heard before or heard covers of. But with our limited amount of availability, like in the studio and practice and that, it was just, you know, it was just kind of, Scott didn't really want to, wasn't really interested in us doing anything different than what was on the original. It was just kind of the idea, you know, we'll re-record it, just pretty much how it was. So we went into the studio on a Thursday to rehearse for an hour, and then went in the next day on Friday and Saturday and recorded it. So, I mean, we were in the studio for like 2.5 days. We finished up on Sunday, and that's the final product. And that also helped, you know, the fact that we already knew the songs that we were doing.
Right.
They were easy for us to go in and rehearse. You know what I mean? It wasn't a ton of production. These were really like stripped down, like, you know, no frills really.
Right.
Not a lot of production going on. So we knew we could go in, knock them out, you know, pretty much as quickly as possible and make them sound good. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it kind of helped us out. The fact that we, you know, we're still playing the arguably the easiest Ramones songs.
Yeah.
That you can think of.
Yeah. But there is like some extra production on the songs too. Cause I was listening to it earlier and just listening to like Slug or, like there's background noises going on, you know, it's not just y'all. So I feel like y'all are doing homage, I guess.
Not to interrupt, but that song in particular, was done, those keyboards. We wanted to keep everything pretty much as, true to the originals as possible. Right. So if you listen to the Slug that's on one of the remastered Rocket to Russia's, they have that organ and piano and it's kind of, there's a lot going on. So, our guitar player, Josh sent that song out to, Nate Sander, who played guitar for us when we were playing with CJ, with CJ Ramone. So he was our guitar player, but he's like a musical virtuoso. He's insane musician. So, you know, we sent out those tracks or sent out that track and, you know, set out the original Ramones recording of that song. So he would have kind of a something to base what we were looking for. So he had just a point of reference and then he sent us back that. And, you know, he's like, you know, it was a personal favor and, you know, he was totally cool and, you know, and really hooked us up and really just added like a whole new dynamic to that song because we didn't have any plans on doing that. Josh kind of went behind all our backs and was like, hey, you know, check it out. What just I had Nate do.
Yeah.
And I say that like he went behind our backs, but
screwed us.
If he told us what we were doing, it's not like we would have discouraged him from doing that. Nate Sander gets credit for Slug, and that's my favorite song on the record. I think that song is, you know, just really just pops.
That's good, man.
Like
I said, I think all the songs, you said it, that keeping as close to the original as possible, and I think y'all accomplished that.
When we went in, we had such a limited time, right? So we went in just kind of like, we're going to go in, we're going to record the songs live as we would play them at a show.
Right.
And, you know, if you kind of, you know, if you screw something up here or there, if it's not like, if it doesn't totally derail the song, we're just going to keep moving forward. And, you know, that mindset kind of went out the window like 5 minutes into recording the first song. And it did a 180. It was like, okay, we're going to record these like we would play them at a show. And it morphed into, you know, starting songs exactly the way, like the four, before Sheena's a punk rocker. It doesn't say, you know, the 1, 2, 3 is missing. It starts at 4 and then goes into the song. So we did that, you know, pretty much just like dissected these songs with a fine tooth comb and did them as true to the original as possible. So
yeah. Is there a weird, do you have a soft spot for a weird Ramon song that you would, or a couple that you would like to do or would have liked to do?
I mean, I would love, I mean, I don't even think they're weird, but Swallow My Pride's my favorite Ramon song.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Swallow My Pride. And they never did that one. And I loved playing that one. We played that every night with CJ. It was awesome. I Want to Be Your Boyfriend is a great one. That's just a great Joey love song. I know once this is over, I'm going to think of probably 10 more. Just off the top of my head, those two. Huntington's already did Babysitter, but I loved Babysitter. And then we were doing Got a Lot to Say. We were doing Got a Lot to Say off of, I think it was Adios Amigos.
Yeah.
And we were doing that live, and that was a lot of fun. And in fact, we were going to record that, but it was kind of such a random song to do.
Right.
To add as an extra like bonus track on it that I think we just opted out. Yeah. You know, but I would love to record that song.
Yeah. There's so many cool, like on the later albums, there's so many cool songs, like in some of them that like CJ sang, I guess that like DD had sold to the Ramones at that time or whatever. And,
Cretan Family's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like such a kind of a goofball song. Like all those, you know, the Crusher.
Yeah. You know, Crusher.
They're such silly, like kind of off the wall songs. It's like, but they're just so good. And Dee Dee was a genius songwriter.
Yeah.
And I could just, it's no wonder it was probably the smartest thing that they could have ever done to like keep him on the payroll and just kept him writing songs, because even after he was long gone, he was still writing some incredible, you know, Life's a Gas. And I think Life's a Gas was, I think CJ was on it, or Poison Heart. Maybe I'm thinking Poison Heart, but I mean, he was awesome. Just incredible songwriter. So
it's crazy to watch like videos of him talking about like music or just anything really, and then like listening to some of his more serious songs. It's like, fuck, this is the same person.
Yeah, dude was deep, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, he was totally, you know, in every aspect of his life besides songwriting, and he mastered that, you know. Yeah. So that usually is how it goes when it comes to like, you know, tortured artists, you know, whatever. Just like absolute maniacs in, you know, every facet of their lives except their art, you know what I mean? And they're totally honed in on their craft, and you know, that's pretty incredible. And he was a really good painter too, you know. It's like just his art in general, his music, his painting, his poetry, everything. I was, you know, he was a deep dude.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. How'd y'all hook up with CJ?
I just sent him a message one night on Facebook. It was after a long night.
You're just feeling confident.
I was pretty lit up. And I just sent him a thing on Facebook. I sent him a message on Facebook. And I was like, hey, man, it's like, I play in a band called the Huntingtons, you know. And we played with Joey back in 2001. And I wasn't even in the band at that time. It was like 14 years before.
Right.
But, you know, but I figured it would stand out.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he was there. I'm sure he doesn't remember that night. According to Mike and Cliff and Josh, they said he was pretty tanked up that night. So I'm sure, you know, he doesn't remember. But yeah, he was playing with some guys from the Aquabats and the Adolescents, Dan Root, Steve Soto. And he just kind of had revolving door guys. And I was like, you know, I wasn't really doing anything that would keep me from touring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't have family or anything like that at the time. So I was just like, hey, you know, I don't even know if you run this page or if somebody else does, But, you know, if you get this and, you know, you need some guys from the East Coast, because all his guys were from California. He lived probably 5 hours from Baltimore up in Long Island. So, you know, I just sent him a thing, and he was, he wrote me back immediately. He's like, yeah, let me get your number. And, you know, I basically told him that, me and Josh could play for him if he needed us. And,
yeah.
And he called me about, I don't know, like a month later, and, you know, told me what he needed, and he wanted to do, he wanted to record a Beach Boys song for a 7-inch split with the Mangies. And he's like, he called me on like a Monday or Tuesday. He was like, I need to be in the studio like this weekend.
Yeah.
Can you hook me up? Can you figure something out for me? And I was like, yeah, no problem. And I didn't have a single clue.
You just commit to it. Yeah.
I wasn't going to say no to it. Right. You know what I mean? So I was like, yep, no problem. We'll see you Friday for rehearsal. And then as soon as I hung up the phone, it, you know, started calling around, you know, and sending people emails and just trying to, you know, find somebody that would work for a relatively low cost and who had free time on like 4 days notice, you know what I mean? Which is kind of hard to do.
Right.
But we found a guy, not far from us, and he came down and we rehearsed and we went drinking that night. And then that weekend we went to the studio and recorded. And about a month after that, he asked us if we could go to Europe with him, and we're like, hell yeah. So we went on a short little European tour. It's like 10 or 11 shows. And then after that, that was kind of, I think that was, you know, him seeing if he could work with us and us seeing if we could work with him, you know what I mean? And relationships, you know, clicked, and the ball was rolling after that, you know, and the tours kept coming, and big tours and big shows. It was crazy. You know, yeah. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. That's such a funny thing. Just to Facebook message him and be like,
yeah, I mean, sometimes that's what, you know, that's just life. You got to take chances.
That's right.
I'm like, the worst thing he can say is no, or right, no thanks, or not even respond, whatever. You know, I wrote to him thinking like, yeah, it'd be cool just to have a little chat with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that would be cool enough.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, he was like, yeah, I'm always looking for guys, you know, close, you know, he didn't have to fly people out to practice with him to get ready for a tour. You know, Josh and I would drive up to Long Island for the weekend and practice. You know, so yeah, I mean, it was, sometimes you just have to take a shot, and, you know, luckily, you know, I guess maybe if more people did that in their lives, they, you know, have an opportunity similar to that.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, so it's just a life lesson for me.
Right. And, you know, objectively, the coolest Ramon still kicking.
Still alive? Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I've heard good things about Richie. I've never met him before.
Yeah.
And I've never heard a good thing about Mark. So,
I just, well,
you know,
yeah,
there's, but this. I've spent more than enough time with CJ to know he's just a genuine dude.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? That's what it seems like. Yeah, just,
yeah, like no bullshit. Like what you see is what you get with him. I still talk with him, you know, a few times a week. You know, he'll text me about, you know, the Orioles or the Ravens or something like that. You know, it's usually like talking shit about sports or whatever.
And, right.
Yeah, so he's just a legit dude. You know what I mean? He's just like, there's no other way to describe him. He's just like a blue collar punk rock dude.
Yeah.
You know? The guy's, he's a legend, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Was that a weird, whenever you were just first around him, where you're just like, fuck, this is fucking weird. Or just, yeah, like,
sure. I got a call. It was a New York number, and I usually don't answer numbers that I don't recognize.
Right.
So I declined the call, and he texted me, you know, a couple minutes later. He was like, hey, this is CJ, you know, give me a shout. You know, I'm like, you know, my hand's shaking when I'm calling him, you know, and it sounds funny now, 'cause it's just, you know,
your buddy now. Yeah.
Yeah. And But at the time, you know, it was like, holy shit, man, I'm about to talk to a Ramon on the telephone. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then he came, you know, when he came down to practice with us, and that weekend that we recorded, you know, he was just, you know, once that whole like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, you know, this is incredible. Once that is all done and you're starting to kind of, you're starting to write a, you know, basically write a song, rehearse with them and stuff.
Yeah.
All that kind of goes out the window. And then, you know, and then later on that night, you're out having beers and doing shots and, you know, having a good time. And it's, right. then it's like, then it's just your buddy. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
And that relationship, you know, it went beyond, you know, that kind of starstruck that.
Right. For sure.
That was there for, you know, the first few times that I had talked to him.
Right.
You know, but, you know, he opened his house to us, you know, we stayed at his house and met his family. And so it grew to just a friendship very quickly. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's why it worked so well on the road, is it was just a bunch of buddies out there. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it putting out a whole Ramon song? Is there any weird legal stuff or like weird, that y'all had to deal with?
I have no idea. I don't deal with that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know that the people that are in charge of the estate are kind of sticklers about, you know, what goes on. So I let the Scott Hatch from Burnt Toast Vinyl, if anything comes up, he can handle it. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not the guy to answer that question.
Yeah.
Show up and play the drums. I shut my mouth and hope we don't get sued.
Oh, shit. That's good. Yep. So you guys put out the album right before COVID. How many shows were y'all able to play with that? Like
we did two record release shows.
Yeah.
And that was in February. The album came out, I want to say it came out on January 31st.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. So we had like the first couple weeks in February, we did Baltimore and we did Lancaster, Pennsylvania, back-to-back nights, which were two killer shows, like two of the best shows since I was in the band, you know, just club shows. Like Lancaster was sold out. It was awesome. We did our beer release that night. So it was like, everything was just looking really good. It's like, everything was looking really great. And then we did one more show and I think it was either late February or early March, like really early March. And then that was it. And then all gone. And like I said, you know, we had a really busy 2020 plan. And so we were only able to do three. So, you know, we haven't even been able to play any shows to support the last album. And now we're putting out another album. And now we're talking about starting to write a new original album. So, you know, this last album that we put out before the Ramonia record, I don't know. It's like going by the wayside. We're kind of forgetting about it. You know?
Shit. Yeah.
It's a shame, man. It sucks, but it's life and whatever. Shit happens. I don't know what else to say about it. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. Wild times. Yeah. Man. Definitely. I don't know.
It's just a matter of like, you just have to go, about doing it the best way. You have to figure out how to navigate the best way that you think is possible. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, so what we're doing, and we, you know, we've gotten flack for it, is that we're only doing shows where vaccination cards are accepted.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people don't agree with that. You know, it is what it is.
Right.
The way we feel is, you know, this is our stance. This is what we believe. Right. So we would like to believe that the scientists and doctors know what they're talking about. Right.
Yeah.
So we don't live, we don't make livings off of this band. We get paid very little through this band. We all have careers. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we could just go ahead and mail it in and say, we're not going to play until, you know, we'll never play again, A, or B, we'll wait for everything to blow over. And hopefully one day when there's no restrictions anywhere, we'll start playing again. But we chose to kind of, you know, err on the side of caution and hope that, you know, these doctors and scientists know what's up. So this is how we're going about it. And is it the right way? I don't know. Is it the wrong way? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's right, just, yeah. We're kind of just, there's no right or wrong way, I don't think.
Right.
You know, you have two sides that are clashing at this point. And it's a really sad state of affair, man. It really is, because, you know, we're coming out and we're like, well, this is how we're choosing to do it. And half of our comments on the announcement was like, you know, way to go. That's, you know, the right way to do it. And then the other ones are like, oh, you guys are, you know,
right,
blah, 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 blah. And that side was like people we had never seen before.
Of course.
They're like, we're not coming to your shows anymore. And it's like, I've never seen you at any of our shows anyway. You know what I
right.
mean? So it's like, as soon as a topic comes up that, you know, they are mad about or disagree with, you're going to hear from them. And yeah, maybe we could announce the next record and they, you know, or the previous one and never seen them before.
Right.
Never was like, hey, excited to get the record, you know, looking forward to the show, whatever. No, it was like, I'm never coming to see you guys play again. It's like, okay, well, we're not going to mention it. We never seen you before anyway. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So,
gosh, man.
You know, it's just, like I said, we have the freedom to be able to kind of do what we think is right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like I said, if it's, maybe it's wrong, maybe it's the totally wrong way to approach it, but we don't think it is.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, we've all got families, you know what I mean? And God forbid, you know, we go out and play a dive bar and come home and give something to one of our kids or something like that.
Right.
And you know what I mean? So, like I said, I don't mean to get off on a tangent like that, but, you know, it's just kind of thinking about the state of affairs and how everything is right now. And, you know, like I said, we're just trying to navigate our way through this unprecedented time where no one knows the absolute right way to handle things.
Right.
No, yeah. There's nobody out there that can tell you this is the definitive way to go. But, you know, until that happens, we, you know, are choosing to kind of listen to the scientists and the doctors and hope that they're right. And, you know what I mean? And not the guys on Facebook who are yelling at us.
Right.
You know, for believing in a hoax. You know, virus. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel you, man.
So, whatever. That's what we're doing. Like I said, we might be negatively affected by it, and you know, the show numbers might be down, and so be it. You know what I mean? So be it.
It is
what it is. You know, just trying to make it work. You know, we want to play, and
right.
we feel like this is the safest way to do it.
So. Yeah, man, it's tough. It's you know, like, and you were saying, I mean, the people who it sounds like they were the most vocal about being negative, you haven't even seen before.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen these guys. And then, you know, and then you look at their Facebook pages, you're like, who is this guy? And,
right.
You know, it's like some guy in like North Dakota who's like telling us he's not going to come to our show in, you know, Philadelphia. It's like, okay, like, all right, sorry.
Yeah,
if you won't
man.
See it, you know,
yeah.
Sorry to ruin your travel plans. Cause you know, it is what it is, man. I just hope one day everything gets back to normal and we can all be friends again. And
that'd be nice. Yeah, man.
Cause it seems like this country, man, it's just, it's in bad shape right now. It's sad. It's really sad to see.
Definitely wild right now.
Mm. Yep.
Woo. Okay. I have a I have some like lightning round questions if you want to do that.
Okay.
And lightning is very loose. You can expound upon any answer, whatever.
Cool.
Okay. What's your favorite truck stop / gas station on the road?
Snoke. The name's escaping me right now. It's in Virginia. Oh, man.
Sheets?
Loves. Yeah. I think it's called Loves.
Yeah.
Loves is good, if that's the name of it. Yeah. Wawa is king. You know what I mean? I don't think it gets better than Wawa over here in the Mid-Atlantic region. Yeah. Least, you know. So I'll stick with that.
Wow. Wawa over Sheets? You don't have Sheets over there?
Yeah, no, Sheets is more of a Pennsylvania, Western Maryland.
Okay.
So I'm not exposed to it. Now they're starting to expand into the area that I live in. So, you know, check back with me next year and I might have a totally different answer. I've never had a bad experience with Sheets. I've just had fewer experiences overall with Sheets than with Wawa and Royal Farms. You know, but that's a Baltimore thing.
I don't know Royal Farms. I was about to say.
Yeah, see, that's worth a road trip. Their fried chicken, the best gas station fried chicken that you will ever have in your life.
Ooh,
it's good stuff.
I'm going to make a note, Royal Farms.
People in Maryland will back me up on that.
What's the worst punk rock bathroom you've had to go number two in?
Oh, shit. I'm pretty good when it comes to not avoiding number twos in venues.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like some of the festivals that we did overseas, Port-a-Johns are just the worst.
Right.
I would, you know, like, you can kind of go ahead and you can go into like a dive bar and you can kind of clean it up. If you know, you can kind of make it somewhat sanitary.
Yeah.
But, and a big reason for that is you can't see what's been going on for the last, you know, 8 hours or 6 hours, whatever. When you walk in and you're staring an entire day's worth of waste, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's no escaping it. The smell is there. So yeah, the festival Port-a-John situation, that beats any punk rock dive bar venue bathroom in the world, I would say. you get one of those like European festivals around, you know, 9 o'clock at night. It's bad. Bad
news. The Euro duty.
Nothing good going on inside those places, man.
Right. Oh shit. What's the craziest border crossing experience you've had?
Canada's always dicey. And going into Canada the first time, I had gotten a DUI.
Yeah. Right?
Not something I'm proud of.
Right.
But I got a DUI in October of 2015. Now we had gone to, I think it was 2015. No, I forget, the timeline's kind of escaping me right now. But anyway, within that year after that, we were going to Canada. And you always hear terrible things like, if you have any kind of alcohol-related offense, drug-related offense, and just anything, Canada's really, really super strict at the border. So I looked into getting like a border crossing attorney. I was really freaked out. You know what I mean? So I called up CJ's manager the night it happened. And I was like, look, man, I'm fucking scared. Like I got, like, we're going to Canada. I need to let you know, you need to figure something out. Like in the event that I can't cross the border here, I can't make these like four or five shows that we had.
Yeah.
He's like, well, was anybody hurt? I'm like, no. He's like, all right, you're good. I'm like, what do you mean I'm good? Like, I can't, like, you know what I mean? That's not going to make me feel any better. So sure enough, we get to Canada. And they, you know, we're sitting in the waiting room. And as soon as they see you're in a band, it's like automatic. You're smuggling heroin. You know what I mean? It's like the worst case scenario. That's how they treat you. So they, you know, they're calling everybody up and they're punching passports and letting everybody go. And I'm the last one there. fuck, man. So they're like, Mr. Eller, come on in the back. You know, they take me to the office. They sit me down and like, have you ever been arrested for any alcohol related offenses? And I knew like the jig was up, right?
Yeah,
like,
I knew.
I'm not
gonna
lie about it. They had my stuff right in front of them. So I'm like, yeah, you know, this is what happened. And, you know, kind of told them my story and everything. And I'm like, all right, we'll go wait in the waiting room. You know, so I'm sitting there and I'm pretty sure that the guys in the back were just laughing, watching me out around the corner and laughing. Cause I was sweating bullets, man. I was like, so stressed. And, you know, and then they called me up and it was very anticlimactic, you know, it's like punch it, you know, welcome to Canada type thing. But you want to talk about like a weight lifted off my shoulder? Like that was insane. That was so scary, dude. Cause that was the last thing I wanted on like, you know, the first US Canada tour that I do with CJ, I get turned away at the border and you have to cancel, you know, 5 or 6 shows that we had up there. It's like, not good. All the border crossings are overseas. I don't have any, they were all pretty much standard, like, yeah, no crazy stories. So I'll go with the Canada. Canada's always a pain in the ass.
Canada can be scary. Did you all go through?
I love the country though. I love Canada. They're some of the friendliest people you ever meet. Yeah. And actually I want to take back, does Tim Hortons count as like a roads, like a,
yeah,
like
a, sure.
Okay. Then Tim Hortons number one.
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about Canada, Tim Hortons coffee and donuts, it's basically like Dunkin' Donuts. So I don't even know if you can consider it like a truck stop gas station type deal, but Tim Hortons is number one for sure.
Yeah. The, we've been through the border to Canada a couple times and it's always, you got a van full of shit and you just think in there and be like, all right, take everything out. Like gear and shit.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, CJ always drove through Canada, like, and he's always got like the gift of gab. And I always feel like he, like, maybe it's just because he has like a New York accent. I always feel like he could kind of like talk his way out of anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the fact that he's like, oh yeah, you know, you ever heard of the Ramones? Yeah. You know, you can play bass in the Ramones. And sometimes it works. And it's like, oh, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Go get an autograph or something. Have a good day. And then other times it's like, I don't give a shit who you played for.
Oh, fuck.
Pull the van over and get out. You know, it's like, ah, you know? So, Canada crossings are brutal.
Damn, dude. Even a Ramone getting posted up.
Yeah.
Ah, I was gonna, my next question was, what's your favorite regional beer? But we already... Is Natty Bo?
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I don't. You know, I'd be honest. I don't really drink regional beers anymore.
Yeah.
Like I said, I make some money now. You know what I mean? I don't have to go to the bar and order Natty Bo.
Right. Well, right. You know, you got like you got.
I mean, I got the tattoo because it's like it's the Baltimore thing. You know what I mean? It's a Baltimore pride thing. So that's why that's there. It's not because I enjoy the beer or anything like that. I don't particularly like it. You know, like I said, I drank it out of necessity when I was a kid because I couldn't afford, you know, anything else. It was either that or Steel 11 or Steel Reserve.
Yeah.
211. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Natty Bo and 211. That was it.
Do you have any other Baltimore tattoos?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Nope. I don't think so. No. Nope.
If you had to get a Baltimore tattoo, another one.
I would get the, Ravens. The Ravens B.
Oh, nice.
I would get that somewhere, and I'm thinking about doing it just to piss off my friends who are DC sports fans. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, big local rivalry. So.
What's the most expensive shirt that you've bought?
Most expensive shirt
or piece of clothing, whatever.
I get a lot of Dixon flannels. I don't know if you like Dixon.
Mm-mm.
Ever heard about them. They're like probably some of the best quality flannels you'll get.
Okay.
Our singer Mike owns about 90 shirts from them. So it's a little plug. We'll hook us up.
Shout out
Danny Dixon. But they got some of the best shirts, and they're like, but they're like 60, 70 bucks a shirt. So I've got a few of them. So yeah, those Dixon flannels are expensive. They are expensive.
But it's,
so I'd say, yeah, I'm not a big clothing guy. I've got some Under Armour stuff. I do have some Under Armour jackets. Those are always really pricey, but they're super comfortable in the wintertime. I don't wear leather jackets anymore. So
yeah. the expensive flannel shirts for y'all, it's function too, you know?
Yep.
So yep. It's a business expense at that point. You're just writing it off.
There you go. I need to get with our accountant. That imaginary person know that we need to get.
You're right. Yeah. what's your perfect pizza?
Ooh, I like sausage, pepperoni, black olives, onions. Yeah.
Yeah.
No pineapple.
No.
No pineapple. No barbecue sauce as sauce.
No.
It's garbage.
No.
So I'm pretty. Yeah. I'm like a meat lover's guy, with a couple, you know, veggies on there just for health reasons. You know?
Right, of course.
Stay healthy.
What's is there like a Baltimore food? Is Baltimore crabs?
Blue
yeah,
crabs. Yeah, crab cakes, blue crabs. What else? Yeah, crab everything. Crab macaroni and cheese.
Shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, Maryland blue crabs. Crab cakes and football, man. That's what Maryland does. Did you ever see Wedding Crashers?
Oh, man. Jeez, man. I watched The Wire.
Yeah. They eat some crab. There's some scenes they're eating crabs in that show. Yeah,
they're on the docks in the second season.
Yeah, they go to Crab House out there. Yeah. Yeah. Season 2 at the docks. It's a good one. Love that show.
So good. Is that similar to your life in Baltimore?
I lived in a neighborhood that they did film at.
Damn.
It was a really rough time.
Damn, dude.
Not a rough time, like personally, but just a rough neighborhood.
Right.
So we would go and they were filming season 4 and 5 is when I lived down there. So they would, you know, I'd come home from work and there'd be signs for HBO signs, you know, filming in progress,
yeah,
you know, closed set, whatever. Around our street. So, I wasn't involved in what went on in that show. Right. But, that was those neighborhoods. Yeah. West Baltimore. I lived there for about 2-3 years with a really good friend of mine that plays in a great, local Baltimore band called Over Our Eyes. So, yeah. So, yeah, I saw a lot of stuff that went on in that show. I'd never partook in any of those activities.
Damn, dude.
I didn't run any corners or anything like that. I wasn't robbing any drug dealers. I didn't do anything fun like that.
Oh, man, dude. Boring.
Yep.
To go back, I have a follow-up question to the pizza question. What do you want on your tombstone?
The pizza or the actual tombstone?
Well, you know, it's like a bit, you know.
Yeah, I know. God, what do I want on my tombstone? Dude, that's a dark question. I've never thought of that. I don't know. A quote, like an obscure, funny quote. I don't know. That's tough. That's like a high school yearbook quote. And I don't even remember what mine was. Live, laugh, love. That's going to be on my tombstone.
I love it. Damn.
Yeah, no, I don't know, dude. That's a
tough question.
Yeah, that is a tough question. And that's not really that shouldn't be considered a lightning round question. That's like, I'm going to ask, this is my first question in the interview. And you can answer it at the end of the interview, and I'll give you an hour to think about what's going to be on it.
But then you're just going to be thinking about
that question the whole time. Your brain's going
to
be all over the place.
Pay attention to any of your other questions.
Live, laugh. I do like live, laugh, love.
Yeah, I mean, I just see it on everybody's walls. If it's a popular quote, so, you know.
Do you get, yeah.
I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe a Tom Petty quote. I love Tom Petty, and he always had really good lines in his songs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I wanted to be, like, really dramatic and you know, have just kind of a, I don't know. Tom Petty, yeah. I'd have to think of a good Tom Petty line, but I could see myself doing that.
Oh, that'd be cool. Did, whenever y'all played Fest the other year, did you go on any Tom Petty pilgrimage?
We drove past the street he grew up on.
Yeah.
We didn't drive by his house because we just got done playing and we pretty much packed it up and rolled out right after we were done. Cause we were driving all night. So it wasn't like,
yeah,
you know, it was like, oh, he lives down there. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Kept it going up 95, you know, it was like no detours. It was like, just get home ASAP. So yeah, hopefully we play Fest again and we'll do that. We'll allot ourselves more time to explore downtown Gainesville.
Hell yeah.
I'd love to. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. It's a cool place. A lot of music history there for sure.
Yeah, Gainesville's crazy, man. It's like there's so many different venues. Like if you look at Fest's, like the amount of venues that are around there. I played Lucy's,
yeah,
CJ, and I've played that place, and then we did the High Dive. I think it was called the High Dive or something like that. We did that at Fest, but then there's like six other venues around there. It's like they're all equally awesome looking. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really cool, you know?
Yeah. And just such a weird, like, why this town? You know, it's not like a major city.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big college town. And Austin, Texas is kind of similar to that in terms of live music venues and just the accessibility to music. There's, you know, bands are playing. You have your choice of 10 bands a night. You want to go see. And why Gainesville? I don't know. It's just, you know, I guess it's just how it is. I don't, but it's a cool town. I love playing there.
Yeah.
Actually, no, one of our worst CJ shows ever was in Gainesville. I think there was like four people there.
Yeah.
It was off night or off season, I guess. College was out for summer break, and we get there and there's like no one there. I mean, it was bad. And Josh, who plays guitar in the Huntingtons and with CJ, started chatting up with a guy at the bar, and they started talking about guitars and gear and stuff. And he's like, yeah, you know, oh, that's a nice Gibson, you know? And he's like, oh yeah. You know, they're talking. He's like, yeah, I've got six or seven at home. And Josh is like, wow, you know, that's cool. He's like, yeah. And Josh is like, oh, are you in a band? He's like, yeah, I play around, you know. He's like, yeah, I play in a band called Against Me.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I was like the guitarist for Against Me. And, you know, we're playing in front of like five people.
Right.
It was not the most proud moment. And the staff were totally cool.
Yeah, man. It's weird. Punk rock, it's so weird. You get like Spinal Tap moments a lot.
Oh, it's hit or miss, man. Yeah. Especially here in the States.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. It's tough for like lower level to mid level bands.
Yeah.
It's just a gamble every night. You never know.
Yeah.
In Europe, in South America, it's pretty much a home run 9 times out of 10.
Damn.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No matter what night of the week it is. You know, it could be a Sunday night and it'll be a sold out show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's just the people over there are just more appreciative.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not meant to be an insult to people in America or, you know, but, you know, American bands are, you know, go over there, you know, once every 2 years, 3 years. You know what I mean? Whereas American bands will go on, you know, a tour cycle. you know, they might tour the US 2 or 3 times in a year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you have the ability to go see them and, you know, a much more frequent basis. And the people over there are just, they treat you like artists. You know what I mean? As silly as that sounds. So yeah, it's weird, you know, it's weird touring in the US. So Gainesville was kind of the model of that kind of question as to why it's tough to tour in America.
Yeah.
It was Gainesville that night, you know,
yeah.
And I guess the Gainesville locals didn't like us. Don't like punk. Like college kids might have been a different story if we were playing during the school year.
Maybe. Oh man. Against Me guy was there. That's cool.
Yeah, he was there. He was there. And he said we played good. So
there you go.
I guess that means something.
Yeah.
Pretty good critic to have at that show, yeah, I guess. Man. But would have been nice if there was a few more people there. So he'd be like, oh, yeah, these guys can draw something
yeah.
other than, you know, flies. That's what
oh fuck. Oh man. All right. Well, we're at like an hour. Do you have any closing things you want to say or
No, not really. I think our album Back to Ramonia is coming out on it should be out. I don't know when this is going to air. It's September 27th. 28
yeah
tonight so I'm hoping we're hearing that like the first week or so in September the pre-orders will be shipping out.
Oh yeah,
so pre-ordered that, keep an eye out, they'll be getting mailed out soon. Yeah, I don't know, be cool to each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. It's like I said, I mean, it's a fucked up world that we're living in right now. So the best thing we can do is just be cool to each other.
Yeah, man. Cool.
Take care of one another.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chris.
And buy our record.
Chris, stay on for a second, but you had options, but you decided to talk to me, and I appreciate it.
You got it, man.